Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, coming to you live from Detroit, Michigan at the NFL Draft is the Trudge Report. We're not really there. We wish we were, but no. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Trudge Report. We are a recovery-based podcast. Even if you don't believe us and we talk too long on fast food topics, I promise we are a recovery-based podcast. We're here to also talk about a handful of other stuff, from sports to trending topics to whatever is on Corey's mind. Anything we have going on in our lives. You can check out new episodes every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch our episodes. They come out on YouTube and Facebook every Friday. Please remember to like and share on all listening platforms. Download and stream those episodes. And then if you want to go back and watch them, please do so as well. We are all fairly attractive early to middle-aged men. We want to give a special shout out to Miss Janine Stella, our wonderful producer, Stella Mix Podcast Management. And we are happy to be here. We're coming to you a day early. Well, we are recording this a day early on Thursday. Some of us got some family plans Friday and Saturday, but we're happy to be here. Good evening, gentlemen. As always, let's go around the awkward. How's everybody doing?
Hi.
Ooh, yo. Corey got it in quick.
Yeah, I always get it in quick.
So that's what she said. Salute from Bill. You can't see that till Friday, but salute from Bill. And what's up, Greg? How are you, bro?
I'm good. I'm more bricked up than an Edgar Allan Poe story. Nice. I just wanted to start off by saying it is lovely to see you gentlemen one day early. It was mostly my scheduling conflict that required us to do so. So I wanted to take a moment and acknowledge that. Thank you guys very much for adjusting the schedule. Thank Janine for adjusting our schedule. She's done a great job. And definitely to give a shout out to my lovely girlfriend, Lauren, who will celebrate her birthday tomorrow.
You made it, Lauren.
Friday.
Lauren's been waiting for that.
She has been waiting for that. So, yeah, I would love to give her a shout out. We got a nice little weekend planned, Home Depot, maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
They're not even open anymore.
They are in Ohio, Corey. Oh. Still. They're hanging on. They're clinging on.
Florida, Corey.
And in Florida. Not,
right down the road from us.
Not in the undisclosed location.
Did that one close down?
It's
really
gone by Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes. Wow. Oh, yeah. I stand corrected.
Which that Chuck E. Cheese needed corrected to close first. Sorry, Greg. I'm taking. Yep.
They redid the Chuck E. Cheese. They redid it all.
It's terrible. It's still terrible.
They got rid of the ball pit, though.
Very scary. Very scary.
Low-key, their pizza, low-key, is pretty good. I got to be honest.
I'm not allowed way within 400 feet of a Chuck E. Cheese, so I wouldn't know. But
sweet. Across all 50 states or just South Florida?
Ohio. Well, wherever there's a heavy police presence.
Well, that's not around here, it doesn't seem like. Although Martin County Sheriff did just confiscate 20,000 fentanyl pills the other day, which I thought was pretty good.
For anybody that's not from that area, I just want to give a quick shout out to Martin County Sheriff's Facebook page. It is heavily entertaining and always a good read.
I have something that we could explore during whenever you guys let me talk.
All right now.
No, you're talking. No.
it's Greg's time. I'm just taking it up.
All right. So
we're just kind of doing
it. We're not constricted. So. We're doing it.
You can cut Greg off whenever you want, Corey.
Okay, fine. Greg, can I just, since you shouted out the Martin County Sheriff's
Fired
office,
in.
Just
fired in.
Dude, very conflicting post this week. I think earlier this week is that Martin County Sheriff was going to the outgoing Martin County Sheriff. Was going to speak against some zoning revisions, I guess, which would something about like if it was passed, a sober home would immediately start taking clients. As of now, they're not allowed to, I think, was the gist of what I read. And he's speaking against that sober home opening up. Okay, actually, let me correct myself. It's not a sober home. They called it a sober home. It's a rehab.
Big difference.
Yes, very big difference. It's not a sober living home where you go and get a job and pay your own rent there or whatever. This is a rehab that's going to be taking insurance and all that stuff. To be honest, I felt a little bit differently once I figured that out. Slightly.
These are people capitalizing off people's addiction.
So wait, he's speaking against Martin County opening another rehab.
Yes.
Basically.
Essentially. Correct.
Oh, okay.
Essentially. So the thought, so this is where I'm conflicted. They made very valid points. Lots of people getting shipped into Florida from out of state. As we all know, unfortunately, like the overall recovery rate, if you want to throw a number on it, is not very high. I guess, whatever those statistics are based on, like entries in rehab, whatever. But we know it's not very high. Unfortunately, it happens that way. But so his point is there's people coming in from out of state. They go to their rehab for a little bit. They AMA. They end up in our homeless community. And it makes Martin County a less desirable place to live,
or,
I guess.
Or dead.
Or dead, yes. So, like, on or one dead. Hand, I'm thinking, like, as a resident of this area, I'm thinking, like, well, kind of got a point there. Like, we're just kind of transferring one state's problem to our state. But as the drug addict who did get shipped here from out of state and... It worked out, right? And I'm a pretty good member of society, productive member of society, I think, if I speak for myself. Then I'm thinking, like, well, what about those people? What about the people like me that it, you know, but, and then we can get into the treatment thing where, like, Bill already talked about, like, yeah, I mean, like, if you allow that to open up, you probably just made a few people absolutely rich. And debate the rights and wrongs of that all day long, but
at the end of the day, is it for the greater good?
Well, here's my question.
Is it helping people?
Are people calling somewhere to get help and they can't get in? No, they're not. True. You know what I mean? Do you want Martin County to be like to be known as the rehab capital of the world? Like, I don't, you know, yeah. So it's like, yeah, you guys, 50% of this group did get shipped in that route. But it's not like the opportunity's not there if you want it. You know what I mean? Somewhere else. It's just we just don't need like 100 of them is how I look right. at it.
And there is a bunch. You're right.
There's a whole bunch. And honestly, like from working in that industry a while ago, most of them are shady. I mean, I had a dang good job. I was working with medical professionals, people with master's degrees and higher. And our entire department was eliminated overnight by these people. You know, they're just.
Greed,
man.
We have plenty of friends who have been in and out of that industry and stuff. And I guess some might say it panned out for them and some will absolutely not say that. I don't know. I've never totally. I mean, we know this amongst ourselves, but for the pod, the treatment industry sucks. Let me just say it like that. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Well, keep it real. I mean, here's the thing is like, you know, yes, there's documentaries and open trials and all kinds of stuff about scumbag people in the treatment industry, just like there are scumbag people in every other industry. Yeah. We live in a capitalist society. Now, is there a higher per capita? I don't know. I don't have the facts right in front of me. I can say that during the, almost 4 years I worked in treatment. I had a pretty good overall experience. It just wasn't for me. It was not for me. I couldn't, you know, really separate my program of recovery from what we were doing there at the treatment center. And I couldn't reconcile that for myself. But on the flip side of that, yes, there have been a lot of people that I've met like through the different various treatment centers down there that aren't here, aren't with us anymore, but there's been a good amount of people that are still here. And it's because that was their initial bridge into the recovery that they found. So who am I to sit here and say yay or nay?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not touching any of that.
You're not going to touch it. You're not going to touch on it.
Leaving it alone. Right.
I mean,
it's bullshit. I think we have enough of them.
Yeah, I think. Let me say this.
I've never heard of somebody real quick, and then you know, heard of somebody, even me, homeless in Pittsburgh, that couldn't get into a rehab if I waited long enough. You know what I mean, or whatever. That we need. Like my point of it is not. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't do that, but there are already options available. We don't need a plethora of options. You know what I mean.
Let's not forget that we're like, I got a bill for $98,000 after my last rehab stay. Right. And like, did I pay it? No, okay, I did not pay it.
I used to audit charts, right? and all the time they bill thousands of dollars for people bringing free groups into the facility.
Yeah,
that are doing out of the goodness of their heart. It's insane to me.
Well, I was gonna say this. I looked at the detail of that bill, and every time I pissed in a cup, it was $3,500.
Yeah,
and you were pissing in that cup how many times a week?
Three.
Right.
Three times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
I think you guys are fully aware of my position on all this over the years.
So I mean, this is kind of...
We'll leave it at that.
I think it's very controversial.
Greg, I'm taking something offline with you about your overall experience. Just
no,
take that offline.
Absolutely, yeah. We can talk all day and night about it. But at the end of the day, you know, what Corey just brought up, What is just the entire medical profession do? It's not just a treatment.
Oh yeah, I mean,
you go. Listen, I got a $3,000 bill for a doctor to be in the room with me for 30 seconds and tell me he couldn't help me.
Yeah, that's a big problem in itself.
Like that's just capitalist America.
Let's cap it off with this, unless anybody else says it. Because I didn't mean. I apologize. I did not mean to go.
Big,
I did
big
not.
Big pharma. Intend,
yeah. Recovery is free.
For anybody fun that's listening, and for free.
For fun, yes. And for free. It actually is for free.
Absolutely.
Now, not to say that we don't believe in a little detox day, and not to even say that the 30-day run isn't a wise decision for a lot. It was for me. It was a good thing. It panned out for me. But the back end of the treatment industry gets a little questionable, and we absolutely certainly do not have the time to discuss it tonight in full. But...
Shit's evil. Detox on your couch.
Guys. I'll end with this.
True.
Guys, did you guys know the NFL draft is on?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Sean's Commanders, Jaden, Daniels. How are you feeling, Sean? Let's take it live to Sean, live reaction.
So we were talking about this. You might have been peeing when we were talking about this. I don't hate it at all. I would have taken any of those top three. I would have even taken McCarthy, Penix, or Bo Nix. If it were me, and I'm certainly not a professional when it comes to scouting and all that stuff, if it were me, I would have taken Drake May. I like him. I think he's more NFL ready. Maybe he will flop. Maybe he won't. But we needed a quarterback. Anything, truly anything, was better than what we had. And I think we're building. We're building. So happy about it.
I love the pick, man. I think he's the real deal. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Greg, what do you
think? Caleb Williams goes first overall naturally, and then
Caleb Williams will be a bust. Caleb Williams will be a bust. You know, he's not what they're making him out to be.
So here's the question then, Greg. Is he going to be a bust, or is he going to be a bust because of going to Chicago? Well,
they don't have a great culture in Chicago.
That's what I mean. Like going somewhere else, would he have been a superstar or a great legendary quarterback, or even
and the other thing is
great quarterback going somewhere else that does have a culture.
I don't think that Chicago gave Justin Fields a fair shot. This kid had,
and
you know what? Watch him shine under Mike Tomlin. Watch him, you know, whether or not, obviously Russ is probably going to be the starter for a good chunk of the season, barring some injury or some
big. He's named the starter. That was conditional of him signing the contract. Things change, though.
Right. Things do.
Well, he
change.
Will get the first the crack at it, guaranteed. Yeah, the absolutely. Steelers will not back down on their word.
Justin Fields does under Mike Tomlin. And in that organization, that even though it is, I can't stand them. I got to give credit where credit's due. You know what I'm saying? They're a winning organization.
Come on,
they have a great winning culture there.
Come on,
and stroke it.
The
keep it going.
Is just
how many Super Bowls? It.
Scumbags who don't wear undershirts.
That's right, baby. Pittsburgh's back in the house.
Hats off to them. You know, but I don't think Chicago gave him a fair shot. They had 1 year where he had good receivers to throw to. I think he played in the 3 years that he was there or four, no, 3 years that he was there under three different offensive coordinators. You know what I'm saying? They never gave this guy a fair shot, you know, and being a Browns fan and being once we picked Baker, which obviously as things shook out in that draft, there were much better options after Baker, Lamar being one of them, Josh Allen being another. But
Well, Baker just got a $100 million contract, and this goes back
right.
to Sean's
point. Well, that's what I'm saying.
That Caleb Williams, a man who paints his fingernails, cries on his mommy's lap, when he's in the right. middle of Chicago in December, in December in Chicago, he's not going to like it very much. He's
coming from SoCal.
Like Baker Mayfield is not going to like Cleveland. Like, he goes to Tampa, a better system. But Caleb Williams is screwed, dude, in Chicago. I mean, you're right.
So that's, so then let's answer the question. Is Caleb Williams a good or a great quarterback if he was in a good culture? If he went to Mike Tomlin
no,
right now,
no.
Is Caleb Williams
I say no. I say
a
he
Pro
stinks.
Bowl quarterback in 3 years? Okay.
No.
Okay.
I think he's right. one of the most overrated.
I think he's overhyped, and I think it's in his ego. Like, now it's conditioned his ego. The fact that he refused to do anything for the combine, didn't go out there for the pro day, nothing. You know what I'm
everything
saying?
Everything I've like, heard leading up to the combine, though, everything I heard from all the, like, College Game Day, like Pete Thamel and all those guys, restate like that he is a, was a top-notch young man, had a good head on his shoulders, sure. everything. And then you hear the combine stuff. So, I don't know. I'll hold. If I'm – so. Are you buying, selling, or holding your stock on Caleb Williams? And I'll hold.
I'll hold. Who did USC play? That's all I'm saying. Yeah, like yeah, we could rank them. We could rank this dude as the best quarterback to come out of this draft. But who did they play?
He didn't play well in all those games either. And,
correct.
No. And just so you
Which,
guys know,
a lot of that was the defense too. Let's be honest. They had a shitty defense, but
Justin Fields in the last 17 games versus Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields, 29 touchdowns, Lamar 24, Fields, 4,200 passing yard or total yards, Lamar 44, 19 giveaways versus 15. Lamar takes that slightly as well. 94 passer rating for Lamar, 84 for Fields. So I think Fields is the real deal once he gets in a real situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep moving down a little bit. So we don't have to talk much about Jaden Daniels unless you guys want to say anything.
Nah.
Drake May to the Patriots. The real intriguing one to me is Marvin Harrison Jr. to yep. the Cardinals so far. Yep. And Malik Nabers just went to the Giants, by the
right.
way.
Right.
Malik. Yep.
Marvin Harrison is – he's the truth.
Yep.
Yes.
And he's so is Nabers.
Yeah. So is Nabers. I still give the – I would give the edge to Harrison, though.
Just, and so is the dude from Washington. Roma Dunze, watching yeah. that guy play. Mm-hmm.
They're great, yeah.
They're all
Marvin,
three of them.
Yeah, Marvin I mean, Harrison's
Arizona,
gonna,
Kyler stays healthy.
This is yeah. one of the best draft for prospects that I've seen in a while. I'm really excited about some
I don't know
of these
any guys. Of these people.
We know.
Should've, Never heard of
done,
any
you
of them.
You should have done your homework, Corey.
No. I watched the draft last year, and it was cool because we got Jalen Carter, and he turned out to be pretty good so far.
Totally fucking
but I had no idea who he was
drunk.
You know,
it was before the draft, wasn't it? Or did that happen after?
Well,
listen,
we'll
take the scraps, man. We'll take them in.
All right.
Hey, can I mention something really quick? Football?
Absolutely, Corey.
Just signed the best wide receiver in the league to a 3-year contract extension.
They traded for Marvin Harrison already?
Yeah. Yes. Where did they got Justin Jefferson or?
Yeah. AJ Brown, $96 million.
George Pickens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. AJ Brown is a phenomenal
he is the
wide
best,
receiver.
Yeah. Best
he's
receiver
not the
in
best.
The league. Oh, yeah.
He is not
phenomenal.
You can't just throw this stuff out there. You have to come with facts.
Five.
Back that shit up, dude.
What?
I'll give What's, him top five when he's healthy and when he's not doing sideline antics and posting on Twitter. And
listen,
and
that was blown way out of proportion by the media. We all know how the media can be.
Yeah, they never take Philly. Yeah, you know, they always give, you know, Philly their credit and never take anything out of context.
No, they do.
I got a question, guys. Have any of you had the opportunity to fully absorb the Taylor Swift album yet?
I listened to the first 18 songs. Whatever I found on YouTube. Jesus. Yeah, whatever I found on YouTube only had the first 18, but
okay. There was only 15 songs to begin with, I think.
Or maybe 15, but...
Okay.
Whatever.
Well, you got Spotify.
Yeah, I'll find it. I'm not worried about it. I thought there is a song titled Florida, which I thought was kind of cool. She shouts out Florida. There's a couple really good songs, and most of them are just kind of like, whatever. That's my quick Quick take. We hashed this out.
There's a Travis Kelce
out on the group.
I know. Earlier. Right. I know we talked about it already, but
I was working.
I know. Okay. I was That's supposed to be working, but this album truly, and I'm not an expert on Taylor Swift. I do like her and I like her music, but I can't name more than 10 songs. I can't name, I don't think. But that being said, the research I've done, this album truly was not for the masses. It was not a commercial album. There's not one song on there that I think is going to end up in a Super Bowl commercial, like I mentioned earlier. And I kind of respect that, man. I like deep tracks, and she just let go 31 of them. So I know it's not everybody's favorite thing. I know it's not going to appeal to anybody who's really not a fan. And I don't even like, there's not really one song yet that is like caught me on, and I'm not like, I mean, it's played in my house all day long, but that's not me. But it's still good. It's decent, you know, and I think her fans really like it. So I think that's where she was gearing it towards. So it's fine.
We know, but Greg, it's Greg's new favorite album.
Yeah.
I tried to give it a fair shot. Maybe like I was saying to the guys earlier, maybe I was having a little bit of bias because I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but I tried to give it a shot. Meh.
Yeah, this was not a good one. Even my wife, who's like a huge Swift, she said the same thing. And I had to tell her, like, no, let's go down the list. Listen, there are a couple really good songs. Like, I can't think of the name of it now, Corey, but the one Little Old Me or whatever, I thought that was a badass song.
Who's Afraid of Little Old Me?
I thought that was a badass song, yeah.
But, never has somebody in history gotten so much from so little, I will say that. She's a great
performer.
In what she receives.
This was not a good one. I do truly think she has some unbelievable music, and I said that earlier. But I don't think this wasn't even my.
Do you think that because once Scooter left, like his group of ghostwriters left with him, or do you guys think that it was new ghostwriters that weren't as good?
I don't think it's ghostwriters.
Okay.
Long pause.
Like meaning somebody's writing her music.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
no, I think so. I don't think she is. I think she's writing her own music.
All right. Well,
you know who also is writing their own music, guys?
Or at least I know she did during those COVID albums, like Exile and all that stuff.
I know she's always written her own music. There's no way. Also, Dave Matthews Band also writes their own music, and they're being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They are this year. Finally
after being snubbed in 2019.
Did I see that they're letting what's his name in too?
Who? Ozzy? Ozzy's going in.
No. The guy from Dave Matthews. I can't think of his name.
Oh, right. Boyd Tinsley will be there.
Yes. Yo. Well, he's getting inducted. Whether he is there or not is a different
story. Right, yeah. He might be too wasted to show up. I don't know. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Boyd.
That's good stuff.
Apparently his social media is just littered with videos of a stray cat. So.
Yeah, but that dude can hammer out that fiddle, boy.
Yeah, dude. I'd like to see them just get another violin player. If it's not Boyd, I don't care. But
J.C. Latham to
Tennessee.
Who do you go to, Sean? Tennessee. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Atlanta Falcons. Falcons could be low-key good this year.
That tackle they just took is 6'6", 340.
Yeah.
That's a big
360
boy.
Is what I'm seeing, 360.
Or 360.
Yo, he can probably move better than all of us.
3'6" Mafias. Yeah, that dude.
We'll come back. We'll touch back on the draft too. But I mean, NBA playoffs full swing. There's been some duds. There's been some great games. Mm-hmm. Sorry to Corey, but his freaking Sixers got bodied the other night. And then the late game, the Denver LA game that same night, Tuesday night. What unbelievable finishes those games were.
I felt really good about my Cavs in the first two games, and then tonight. Currently, they're getting bodied by fucking 40 points. So,
Jesus.
Yep. So, Bill asked why I was giving them so much hate. That's why. Shit like that right there.
The Miami Heat stepped up big last night and put the Celtics in their place. That was epic to watch, dude.
Yep.
Epic.
Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the league.
Thank you.
I'll get down with. I'll get down with that for sure.
100%.
He really is unbelievable. He's like, I think he would be a great like therapist too. And I'm not being funny with that. Like he's so good at motivating and like making you feel like you are. And I think Pat Riley's got a lot to do with that too. I mean, that culture.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, that's a Pat Riley. He's a Pat Riley protege through and through.
He's the only coach that ever coached LeBron that actually is a better coach than LeBron is a player. You know what I mean? Like everybody else, Ty Lue, all them, you know, take them. Darvin Ham's a joke.
David Vogel Blatt?
Well, they'll hire like LeBron's cousin to coach, and the dude just sits there and fucking. Mm-hmm.
Let's take a quick break.
This week's episode is brought to you by Kohler Construction LLC, your leading roof, window, and siding expert in the greater Twin Cities area. That's going to be Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota, for those of you that didn't excel in geography. So, if those 12 feet of snow have finally caused your roof to cave in, if you're still rocking single-pane windows that rattle every time the wind blows, if the eclipse burned a moon-sized hole in the side of your house, or if you just need a great value Henry Cavill lookalike to show up at your home and talk to you about golf, baseball, or general construction, then call Corey at 612-471-3248 and let Kohler Construction take care of business.
Now back to the guys.
Yeah. I just placed a bet on the Sixers winning tonight.
I mean, truthfully, though, it's not a bad bet because they're at home finally, and they're going to be pissed. Like, they're really pissed.
It's 58-55. So,
It's not a bad, but nobody, I mean, 8 points in 27 seconds the other night when the Knicks beat him. What an unbelievable call. The refs missed a call. Call whatever you want. Call a definitive timeout. Kyle Lowry should have called the timeout on the baseline. Tyrese Maxey could have called the timeout. And Nick Nurse, say with your chest, call the fucking timeout, because it did look like he kind of did, but it wasn't like it wasn't definitive.
Yeah, you gotta step up.
And then he did this. Like, that's never been timeout. I'm sorry. Never, ever.
Just pointing to his hand. I point at my hand sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I do when I got a boo-boo. When I got a boo-boo on my hand, I point at it like that. So
nice.
That's what Grace does too, my daughter.
Boo-boo. That's a boo-boo.
There's been some good games.
Well, I placed money on them because Bill told me to. He promotes gambling, and I took him up on it. So
I do not promote gambling, Corey.
You're slipping
down a slippery slope.
I just put a lot of money on the Steelers winning the Super Bowl.
Well, that's a good bet.
I know.
If he promoted gambling, that would be a good bet.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. I'll promote Steelers betting all day, but not any other gambling.
Oh, real quick, guys. Possibly next week, I want to have a cold open video to put on the watching part of the pod. Obviously, the listeners won't hear. But so my mother just turned 70 years old. Shout out to Suzanne. Suzanne gets a lot of play on this
Happy
podcast.
Birthday.
Yes, she does. But we love you. You're worth every bit of it.
Yes, she is. So I am Angel taking her.
Sending Sean to Jamaica.
Listen to this, dude. I am taking her skydiving on Monday for her 70th birthday.
God. Now that's a story.
My wife is going. My wife is going, and my mom's friend is going. Now, Corey, you'll be happy to know that some of you know that I've been skydiving once. My wife and I went two summers ago with a whole bunch of our friends. A lot of them listen to this podcast. Shout out to all of you. Exhilarating, unbelievable. Like, words cannot describe the unbelievable experience I had. I don't need to do it again. I'm good. So I'm just taking them on Monday. I'm probably just going to hang. I may go. We'll see. My wife says I'll probably decide to at the last minute. But right now, my wife, my mom, and my mom's friend are going. And for her 70th birthday, she is pumped. She is pumped. And I would love to, if she gets the video portion of it, which I'll offer, you know, I want to like maybe play that for the watching part, like the cold open, you know, I think it would be pretty cool. So.
I'm
just
super happy
just
for
mentioning that. I was going to say Corey is in like the middle of a full blown panic attack.
He was 2 years ago when we all
dude,
went.
Every one of my friends that does this shit feels the need to let me know about it beforehand.
That you care.
No, you just tell me after. No, I will never go. I would never jump out of a perfectly good airplane, Bill. Let me know after. I want to like, if you die, I want it to be a surprise.
Okay.
I don't want to anticipate your death.
Have you ever been, Greg?
I have not, but I'd love to go. And you don't even have to give me a parachute. If I die, I die. Okay. Let's go.
Well, I think you kind of guaranteed
that's
to die.
Being suicidal.
Greg, we're about to Baker your ass.
In the famous words of Lane Staley from Alice in Chains, ain't found a way to kill me yet.
He went out a way better way than skydiving accident.
Well, so. That's true. Also,
wait a second.
Verified.
He did die, he though. All the way.
he died?
Did die. He did die. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't sell keyword
drugs.
Yet,
drugs is
yeah,
but still.
But there, it's the yet part in there. It's the yet part. Also, we went across the country to Seattle. And what's the famous thing in Seattle, boys? What is it? The fucking Space Needle. Corey was frozen. He would not venture.
It's so big, dude. It's so tall.
I don't like heights either, to be honest with you,
Corey. Dude, it was so cool.
I do slightly regret not doing it, but I'm sure that I'll have another opportunity one day. But
Space Needle has like the window floors that you walk
on. It's a window
floor. That's the shit. That's crazy,
and it moves, dude. It moves. No. So if you're looking down, you're
It's
so Michael Penix to the Falcons.
I saw that.
That's good for them, I think.
Yep, I agree. He deserves it too. That guy deserves it.
Oh, what is it? Ninth pick? The guy?
See, I don't really like him. I would take Bo Nix over him. I don't really like him. Mm. I think he's got a stupid looking face.
Well, Sean, that has nothing to do with his abilities.
It does, dude. It does. I don't like
stupid face,
dude.
Am I missing out not watching college football?
You're talking to me. Yes, I love college football. Like, absolutely love it.
Watch how you like it, Corey.
This is how you know all these people? This is how you guys know?
Yeah.
No, I know them all personally.
Oh.
Yeah. Gotta go skydiving with them.
Who's my team? Again, who's my team? Penn State? I mean, who is that? Like, they don't do anything.
Ooh, that's a Jerry Sandusky move right there.
They're really good, Corey. I mean,
they are?
Yeah, they're top echelon, I would say. Well, it depends on how you want to define echelon, but they... One or two games go a different way for them, and they're in the college football playoff conversation last year. And now with the new format, they'll totally get in because now they're doing it differently. But yeah, college football is a blast, dude. And you guys were good. You just happened to play in a division with Michigan, the defending national champions, and Ohio State, who say what you want, but they're always really good. So
always the Ohio State. Put some respect on that name.
Guys, we're at our hard cutoff. Go ahead.
I do want to pull this up just to note. It's going to be real quick. Some positive news from federal regulation this week. FTC announces rule banning non-competes. FTC's final rule will generate over 85,000 new businesses, raise worker wages, lower healthcare costs, and boost innovation. I even believe some of that. But also, I do think that's a great thing. And if you've been trapped into a non-compete, I just want to put it out there to whoever hears, just in case, because I think they're bullshit. So I think it's a good federal law coming into play. And I know a lot of people that sign non-competes and have to stay in a shitty job or can't move on in their industry because of that. So
I wish you brought that up 15
minutes ago.
That was so random.
It's all right. This is what was the topic?
No, I guess what random. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It just
right on
so
cue,
random.
Sean. That'd have been man of the people. Mm-hmm. I announce things for the people.
It. Yep. That'd have been good to talk about 15
Some
minutes
man
ago
out there
because...
is going to tell his boss to go fuck himself tomorrow because the non-compete law is in.
Absolutely.
So we got to salute that
as
guy.
As they should. As they should. Yep.
So I don't know.
All right. So then real quick, while we're on random stuff, I did send Janine, our lovely producer, sweet picture I found online earlier. If this isn't the most God bless America, hell yeah thing out there, I don't know what is. But the Ohio-based company Throwflame is selling a fire-spewing robot dog called the Therminator for $9,420. In case anybody wants to know what Greg wants for Christmas.
Under 10 grand.
It's either that or an Apple Vision Pro. I just don't know.
No, 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 no. Give me the robot dog that spews fire, please. Okay. Not only is it just badass and great to have around like a party favor, can you imagine being the fucking burglar that decides to break into the house with a jumping robot flame throwing dog, dude? It's better home security than the best that money can buy, for sure. So yeah, mark me down hands intrigued. Down.
Me too.
Wow. My next 10 grand's going to a wrestling ring, so I'm out.
All right.
All right. Well, guys, that's a good segue into some better segue. Living and some spirituality. That's kind of the whole point, though. Again, for those of you who missed our recovery segment last week, we apologize. We got a good amount of feedback, at least I did throughout the week, that from some people in recovery and not in recovery, that the recovery portion of our podcast is their favorite part. So we are
that's
conscious
a miracle.
Of that. We are conscious of that, and the four of us have discussed that as well. So I'm going to kick it. Let's see. We'll kick it to Bill first for this. And today we're talking about prayer meditation. So go ahead, Bill.
All right. So
did I put you on the
somebody
spot?
That was not in my head. I'm like, I hope he picks me last this time. But so I'm somebody that was an atheist for a long period of time. I grew up Roman Catholic, never paid attention in church, hated church, all that stuff, was forced to go. All that stuff happened with the church, you know, further moved me away and proved my points of what was wrong with the world, right? But over time of getting my ass kicked over and over again, I developed a mind that was willing to accept some new ideas. And you know, prayer and meditation for me is the crux of my day. You know, I start my day with prayer. I start my day with breathing, breath work, meditation every morning. And to me, it's like really like the difference between a successful day and a non-successful day. So whenever I did hit this rock bottom point and I was told to pray, and first of all, you have to have somewhat of a relationship or be willing to have that relationship, or you're just going to be saying words and it's going to seem really pointless. We've discussed on previous episodes how to achieve some of that stuff. There's a multitude of ways to do that. Helping others, you know, getting real with situations of your past, things like that open you up. And once you're opened up, I made a personal goal when I first started my recovery journey that I was not going to say no to anyone's asking me to go to any sort of church or any sort of like spiritual demonstration. And in that first year, I went to a myriad of different churches and denominations, non-denominations. And I really kind of like cultivated what was to become, you know, it was like clearing the groundwork, building something new for me. And then with the meditation portion of that, I actually ended up going to a Buddhist temple, down south, and they had like an open meditation, course there, because I couldn't meditate, dude. I couldn't sit still. And for my entire life, I just had a box open of some of my old stuff in school, and the reports on me were absolutely insane, you know. Unorganized, couldn't sit still, compulsive, all those things that I carried on all the way through adulthood because I was a godless person with no purpose. So anyway, I start going to this Buddhist temple. I went a couple of times and I learned the form of meditation. You know, I probably learned more of like a stricter version of it, which was good for me at first, because after that, I've been able to kind of absorb that and transform it into what works best for me. What works best for me is getting on my couch, getting in a real personal space, thanking God with gratitude, and getting into breath work. I prefer Wim Hof breath work. If you don't know who Wim Hof is, he's the Iceman. He's the dude that he set the world record for amount of time in like a freezing conditions. This guy can basically regulate his own body temperature to absurd amounts. And anyway, he's developed himself through breath work. And the on YouTube, they have free resources that you can look up, just Wim Hof meditation, and it's a guided meditation by him. And it is not really for, I would say, the faint of heart, because it's deep. Like when you first do it, you feel like you're doing a workout. I mean, it's crazy, and you're just laying on your couch. And the whole thing is, when I'm doing a real meditation, like I don't try to breathe just through my lungs. I try to breathe through my body and like let myself exist and hear the message. And there's times in these meditations, I was talking about this earlier today with somebody actually, where I've just broken out in tears, you know, and I've broken out in tears of joy and relief. You know, it's that important to me. It's opened up doors of, I'm personally someone who has had layers and layers of trauma that diluted my thinking process. But I mean, it's really like shown me that path of where to go next. And almost like, I was just talking with a family member about this. It's almost like those boxes were unlocked when they needed to be, like when I could handle them. And I give an example of prayer and meditation in my life, how it works today. When I'm done with that meditation, I try to enter in a period of gratefulness and projection and affirmation of my life. So anyway, the meditation led me to a group of people that led me to this inner healing class. And I went to the inner healing class over the weekend. And I went into this thing. I had nothing. I knew nothing really about it, but several people I respect had actually told me to go to this. So I go in. It's me and this guy. It's this guided meditation, basically. And he's obviously trained in this. And he talks me through this thing. And we just start unwrapping these layers of trauma, which from my recovery experience, which is similar to, I have a pretty good knowledge, better than most. Even he quickly spotted out of what my traumas were, right? But the whole point of this was to figure out where the first lie I told myself was, right? So as we went through there, we peeled the onion back, and finally I'm sitting in a room. I'm 6 years old. I'm sitting in a room. This is in meditation with some dude I just met right in front of me, mind you. And, I'm sitting in a room by myself. I feel rejected. I feel abandoned. There's people around downstairs or whatever. I don't want to be around them, but I really do want to be around them because I feel abandoned. I had, by the way, for reference, you know, at this point in my life, I had lost both my parents. I was taken away from my mom by the state. My dad passed away from drug addiction related things when I was 9 months old. And I had been taken in by my grandparents, who gave up their retirement to raise my brother and myself. So I find myself in this room and, I'm upset. I'm abandoned. And then he goes, well, look around the room. And I look around the room and I see my grandmother there, who I have utmost respect for. And, she's holding the rosary and she's crying in the side of the room in a chair, you know, and, I had never seen this before. And, I was like, please put all this stuff aside, put all this trauma aside. What is it? What is the lie? You know what I mean? And the lie struck me right there in the moment. It was, I told myself that my grandmother, for whatever reason, at 6 years old, that my grandmother did not want me to have a normal mother, and that I had already lost my father, and that she just didn't care. And as I grew older, this person that I was told gave up their retirement for me and all those things, I had this subliminal resentment against, and those two things intersected and wove and become demented, right? But when I realized that, I opened it up and I freed it in that course of meditation. And I sat there with it, and then I asked God to take it away and to heal it and to keep it away and keep it eradicated and let me move on to the next layer, you know. And I prayed really hard on that, and I felt the release. I felt the release right there. And then I went back into the room, and I'm in the room, and this time 6 year old me is giving my grandmother a big hug, and she's not crying. She's hugging me back. And I felt her presence. I felt God's presence, and I felt more relief. And I've been so blessed, because everything I have in this life of mine, I have because of my recovery, because of stuff like this, stuff like the fifth step stuff that we've done. And I felt more relief than I even feel worthy of, even though I know I am worthy. And boom, it was gone. And I discovered what as today would be the first lie. But the thing is, there's probably a lie deeper than that that I still need to find as well. And that's just my course, man. I'm not perfect. Doesn't make me weak. It's just who I am. I'm on a journey to improve myself. I'm going to continue to do that. But prayer and meditation is the most powerful part of my day, man. Like prayer, talk to God, meditation, hopefully hear from God if I'm laying myself to him properly and not worried about these worldly BS things. So yeah, that's it for me, man. That's a good summary for myself. So thanks for letting me, let me talk about that.
Thank you, Bill. That was deep, man. That was good. Michener, you're up next, bud.
Who's JJ McCarthy?
A very good quarterback from the defending national champions.
Going to the Vikings. I like that, Bill. You know, one thing that you said is something that I try to remember as far as meditation goes, and it's, you always hear people say like, oh, I can't sit still for that long. I can't clear my mind. I can't this, I can't that. And meditation really isn't about any of that. It's not supposed to be a struggle, I don't think, at all. I don't think there's supposed to be even be expectations when going into meditation like that, you know. Dude, for me, the hardest part about meditating is taking the time and the discipline to actually do it. I was talking to Greg about this in a group chat. Man, I'll be on the ball about praying, you know. Praying is, for lack of a better way to put it, easy, because it doesn't take all that much time, you know. But like, meditation is something that, you know, you kind of do have to devote time to. I think, you know, there's times throughout my sobriety that I was on the ball with it, and lots of times that weren't. I don't know if I can say it's the one thing, but one of the main things that I wax and wane with, and you know, as we're talking about here and going to talk about further, I think we make fun of it, and I've allowed you guys to make fun of it. You're welcome. But I always have a grumpiness about me. I just enjoy it. That's my state. I like to do that to an extent. Now, like we've talked about before, there's a difference between that Corey, who likes to make some grumpy jokes and poke fun at certain things or whatever, and then there's a difference between that and the Corey that hasn't meditated in months, you know what I mean, and hasn't thought about anybody but himself for months and is wallowing in self-pity and who is actually miserable and, you know, just not doing well. It all comes down to a prayer life and a meditation life. Sean, I remember one of the first when I, not necessarily when I first met you, but one of the first conversations we had, certainly, at least just between us two, was I think I brought some problems to you, maybe, and to some degree, I was like, I don't even know why it was you, to be honest. I mean, no offense, but I just did. I went to Sean and I was, yeah, good. I went to Sean and was like, I got A, B, and C going on, you know, what do you think? I'm thinking you're going to drop some answers on me. And you, first thing you say is, how's your meditation? How's your meditation life going? I'm like, not great. Non-existent maybe, you know, and you're like, start there. And honestly, anytime I've ever sought any spiritual advice or counsel from you or other people, that's always what it comes back to is, you know, how's your relationship with God? Our friend Brian used to say, every time you ask somebody how you're doing, you're really asking, how is your relationship with God? And I always felt like that was interesting. Very true. So
I like that.
Yeah. He had a lot of good ones. But, you know, that's the main thing for me. It's about the discipline of doing it. You know, it doesn't always have to be the best. You don't always have to leave that 10, 20, 30 minutes, whatever, and feel like you literally just walked hand in hand with God. But sometimes you might, you know, sometimes you might feel like that. I do know for one thing, it centers me. It makes me, like, for whatever reason, you start your day like that. You start, or you go through the day thinking about other people, which is one of our goals here, right? You start thinking, like, your thinking's on a higher plane. And yeah, man, I've reaped the consequences of not meditating. So have some Arizona green teas. And that's an insider, and we'll leave that there. But, man, and it can be as simple. I want to say this, like, there's definitely literature out there that has suggestive ways of meditating, reflecting at night on your day, reflecting on the day to come in the morning, whatever. There's plenty of stuff out there. But also, like, just as good, man, some YouTube videos, some guided meditations have been really good. Sean and I used to meditate at least once a week. And at least once or twice, we meditated to instrumental versions of John Denver songs. That was sick. It was a good time.
We're still on my liked videos on my YouTube thing.
Yeah, dude.
I still listen to him every now and then.
Everybody loves Annie's song. Everybody loves that. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of all I got. Man, it's crucial in our way of life, I think. It's crucial for us to be happy and all that. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Good stuff. GAP.
I'd like to start off by saying that Corey has never thrown a jug of Arizona tea or any other type of tea, that matter, in my presence, because we'd be having words if that ever happened.
You can't even prove that it ever happened, really. So,
well, true. No prayer. I love what you guys have said so far, man. In short, prayer is how I ask God for help and for guidance, and meditation is how I shut up and listen for the answer. When I'm wrapped up in everything with active addiction, I'm a very disconnected individual, and that's part of the reason that I'm you know, abusing every substance under the sun, right? I'm looking to reconnect, and I'm using alcohol, drugs, technology, sex, food, shopping, you name it, anything to make me feel connected again to the outside world and spiritually. And this is a really egocentric kind of way to live. My inner life is kind of only made up of objects that I chase for my own personal fulfillment. So in recovery, like a lot of things in my life, we gotta turn that on its head and look at the other side of it, right? So prayer and meditation become a huge part of my life, because I'm seeking to kind of detach myself from all that external activity and seek a new kind of connection internally. As to me, this is essential to my daily life. But as Corey was saying, man, like, this is probably one of the more challenging parts of my recovery, because nobody's looking over my shoulder to make sure I'm doing it right. This is 100% on me. You know, the guys here in this podcast, a few other very close friends, you know, they can see if I'm, you know, slacking here and there. And usually it's just my attitude towards things, my demeanor and my disposition. But one thing is for certain, like, when I'm not disciplined in my prayer and meditation life, and I'm not seeking like a daily spiritual connection, it's pretty evident, and I drift right back into patterns of like resentment, selfishness, negative thinking, you know, just overall discontentment. So a couple pretty steadfast rules I have for myself, as far as this is concerned: when I wake up in the morning, no phone for 30 minutes and no phone for 30 minutes before bed. That's my time. That's my quiet time. Sometimes that gets me in trouble. You know, if guys from work are texting me, or if my girlfriend's texting me and wants to know, you know, why I'm not responding to her, that's my time for myself, right? And for my time with God and for my quiet time. And I have to stay disciplined about that. When I'm praying, I'm asking God for wisdom and truth, for selfless thinking, and to help direct my thinking and actions towards kindness and empathy for the day, right? I don't really have issues with reciting certain prayers. I do it occasionally and often, but when I do feel like I'm starting to phone things in, I kind of keep it loose and just have a really candid conversation with my higher power. Right. And that's the thing for me is, you know, sometimes it can just boil down to like, hey, big guy, I need help. And this is what I need help with. And can you, and I've found that whether or not you're doing it formally or informally, it's those real thoughts and that quiet time that matters the most. Right. As far as my meditation is concerned, I didn't know how to meditate coming into recovery. I didn't know what it meant. I had very probably what Bill encountered at the Buddhist temple. That was my idea of what meditation was. Sean and I spent a lot of time meditating, in those first couple years of recovery. And I really do kind of owe it to him, you know, for introducing me to a lot of, the guided meditations and the different stuff that we were doing. And, Bill, I'm right up there with, I love Wim Hof. I like to mix it up. Sometimes I do. Sean used to always play the honest guys on YouTube, man. And those guys are great. There's something about just the, what are they, Sean, Australian or British? I'm not sure what they are, but the dude's accent is just super calming.
Australian, I think.
Australian. Yeah. But I do love, the Wim Hof breathing exercises too. But yeah, I like to, go outside on my porch in the early mornings when it's quiet and the woods are kind of just starting to wake up. If I don't do that, I do it inside a quiet room. I kind of have the tendency to live inside my own mind, and Bill had kind of mentioned too, like cultivating a new life, a new experience. Right. And a lot of the time, like my own mind is poorly, it's an area of my life that's poorly tended to. Right. So I look at meditation as kind of a way that I'm cultivating the space in which I'm spending a lot of my time, which is my mind. Right. It's also worth mentioning that this kind of helps me immensely in seeing the areas of my life in which I'm wrong or selfish or dishonest, you know, whatever, whatever it may be that's going on in my life, man. It's where I sit back and just get quiet and wait for the answers to come, and inherently they do, especially if I'm being honest with myself. So that's what I got.
Cool, man. Thank you. I want to say, we're going to wrap it up here. I'll say a couple quick things. I want to say yes, by what you guys have already said, it was a very cool thing to be in the early days of really all your meditation experiences and helping introduce you to that stuff. And I know it wasn't just me, but to hear all you guys and like the different versions and pathways and like, because all I did or anybody else did in the beginning was just introduce you to that stuff, right? Here's a little something, something. I still got the honest guys on my YouTube feed. I still got the instrumental John Denver. I'll still throw that out every now and then. I've expanded, of course, but I still got it all. The first meditation that I ever listened to with my wife, who was not my wife at the time, Catherine, was this little Oriental lady. And it's just a really cool, it's still the very first one on my feed. So love to hear you guys' experiences on all that stuff and the different versions. And, you know, I know that's one of the things that it does take. Corey, you're absolutely right, man. That like, it's not so much the lifting and levitating and floating around with God that I'm looking for. It's the payoff is really in the discipline of doing it, making it a part of my daily life. One of our pieces of literature talks about prayer and meditation as separate entities and how strong and powerful they are separately. And then it goes on to say that, but when used together, prayer and meditation together, they form an unshakable foundation for life. Now, I think I can speak for all of us that we all have challenges in our lives. We all have obstacles. We all have ups and downs, for sure. Learning experiences, call them whatever you want. But I think, compared to what we all used to be, we've all got a pretty solid, unshakable foundation for life. We're pretty mm-hmm. aware of who we are as people. At least I know I'm very aware of the areas in my life that I need to work on and continue to work on. And some of those I've been having to work on for a while. I'm also very aware of the things that I do very well, right? I am humble in the sense that I know exactly who I am and I can bring that person to the table. I don't try to be anything less than or more than what I am. I meditation for me is, you know, surprisingly enough, I do miss a day or so here and there, and I don't meditate. But for the most part, it's part of my daily routine. And I'm situated now in my life where even on some mornings, I'll get up and I'll be up for an hour or two getting the girls ready, helping Catherine with the girls, getting them off to school on the days it's my days to take them to school. And I have a job now that I'm not in the office, but 2 days a week. So I'll come home after taking them to school or doing all that stuff, and then I'll meditate. Right. So sometimes I've been awake for a few hours and I'll do it. If I maybe hit the snooze button a few times and I don't do it first thing, I definitely try to do it first thing. I'm an early morning meditator kind of guy. But I don't always, but I'll come back at 9, 10 o'clock sometimes and go in and lock myself in the room for 20 or 30 minutes and do it. I once played a game with myself to see, like, I challenged myself to see how many days in a row I could meditate, and I got to 83. And then, you know, it was just something that was, I don't know. And it's not about like the days you do it and getting lost in, because it can become, to Greg's point, mechanical, right? It can become a little mechanical. And a guy that you guys all know well, that I've talked about, my Mr. Emmett Fox, is he talks about how however you pray is however you pray, and you can say the same rote prayers every day. As long as I am stuffing those prayers with fresh feeling and fresh resolve and new meaning on a daily basis, like, that's really the most important thing, whether it's the childhood prayers I learned as a kid, or whether it's just talking to God throughout the day. Bill and I used to walk around the Salerno Basin at like 5:30 in the morning and do these Tony Robbins meditation where we literally were like, part of it was screaming at the top of our lungs.
Scream like Tarzan.
Screaming at the top of our lungs. You know, and we did that, and I've done the Wim Hof stuff too. Bill introduced me to that. So that's kind of the cool thing. We introduce each other to new stuff, and mine's expanded. I do, whenever I start to feel stale in one form of meditation, I'll switch it up to a different form. And there's so many different forms out there, and there legitimately is. We could go down this and talk about this for so long, and that's eventually is going to be one of our podcasts. We'll dedicate it specifically to types of meditations down the road. But I love you guys. Bill, thanks for opening up with that stuff. I know that's not always the easiest to do, and maybe this is the perfect platform for it, but that's just good stuff. Just good stuff. So any quick parting thoughts? We're at our hour cap, guys.
Yeah. I just want to clarify that while I said that the hardest part about meditating is the discipline of doing it, that everybody has time to meditate, especially when you're in recovery. I'll speak to those people specifically. You got time, and I got time.
No, everybody.
It's just not us taking it. If you
don't have 10 minutes, you should do it for 20.
Yeah, 100%.
Ooh-wee. And awesome. Also, J.J. McCarthy will be out of the league in probably 3 years, I would say.
Oh, we'll take that. I like J.J.
Sixers are winning too, by the way. Sixers are
Leave
winning
my boy
bet.
Alone.
Good bet, Corey.
I'm going to win $2.
Slippery slope.
Still got the whole fourth quarter.
Corey, next week, live from gambling rehab.
No, shout out to the listeners. Shout out to our listeners. Thank you, everybody, for your support. Please like, follow, and share on all socials at Trudge Report Pod. Email us, trudgereportpod@yahoo.com. Send in your requests, whatever you want to hear, anything you want us to talk about. We would love to talk about it. If you just want to talk about recovery or our experience, or if you're struggling with something, we're always here for that.
Treatment industry.
There you go. Exactly.
Gambling.
Special shout out to our producer, Miss Janine Stella. We love you. We thank you. And to all our listeners, good night. God bless. And may you trudge the road of happy destiny. We'll see you next week. Cheers.